Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you have your hand up, Ms. Pam?
Okay. Anyone with an unspoken prayer request, just show by raising your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you tonight. Dear Lord, we just want to praise you. Lord, we want to thank you for all that you do in us, for us, dear Lord, your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, there's no way, dear Lord, that we can just praise you enough, dear Lord, but just please accept the words that we speak, dear Lord, our prayers, the music played, the song sung, and dear Lord, that we just praise and worship you. Lord, may we always have that joyful heart, and that we have it because of you, dear Lord, and we thank you for that. Dear Lord, as we open our service, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to receive your message, dear Lord, ready to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, now you've heard the spoken prayer request, dear Lord. You know those that are in need, those that are going for tests. Lord, those that have got diagnoses of situations, dear Lord, that we need you to touch and to heal. And, dear Lord, we just love and praise you. And for those testimonies of praise, we thank you for answering the prayers that you've answered, Lord, for bringing those through surgery, those through situations, those that are looking for a job, financial change, and, dear Lord, also for peace. And we're asking you to touch the families now, dear Lord. Lord, we ask that you'll continue to let your word go forth, and, Lord, your mercy, dear Lord, to make our families whole again. And, dear Lord, and also we lift up our country to you in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Let's give him another hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. They've already got the song up there started for us. Page 240, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. I need y'all to help me tonight.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning break eternal bright and fair, when the sage of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Amen. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when the chosen ones shall gather to that home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Amen! Doesn't that make you want to worship?
When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all the life is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
You may be seated if you can. I just feel just the Lord's touch this evening. I just thank him for his blessings. There are things I know he's working on, and I want to claim victory in his name, in the name of Jesus. I know he's going to mend, heal, and protect in all situations. Dear Lord, just praise his holy name. We're going to go ahead and take up the Easter offering and then call on our special singers. And Sister Brenda, if you'd get ready. Brother Jim after that, and then Miss Tabitha. If y'all want to work your way up towards the front as we get ready. We'll go ahead and take up the evening offering. Just praise God. Don't forget about our Wednesday nights. It's for the Good Samaritan Fund. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry God has blessed us with. And also, as we prepare, homecomings July 25th and Vacation Bible School. Miss Penny, give us an update. So go out on the live feed too, please.
It starts Sunday. Kickoff is Sunday at 6 o'clock. And then we'll have VBS from 7 to 9, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. Food on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday will be from 6 to 6:45. So everybody needs to come. Bring all them little kids and them big kids too and them old kids.
Amen. Amen. Fond memories of when I was little. I remember back then a little bit. Vacation Bible School was a wonderful time. Praise God. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Everybody doing okay tonight?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I just want to thank the Lord. You know, we get up here sometimes and we think that we have to give Him a long speech and everything about what God's done for us and all. But I just want to thank Him for keeping me safe every night and waking me up every morning.
Amen.
You know, we have been studying in the book of Gideon in our Bible study. And one of the main things that it's put me on a very personal walk with God. But one of the main things that I remember is His long-suffering for us. Sometimes when I would pray to God, I would praise Him for His long-suffering. And sometimes I'd tell Him, God, I don't know if I'm supposed to praise You for that, but I do praise Him for His long-suffering, because if He didn't have long-suffering for me and Tabitha, I don't know where we'd be, you know? Just saying, just throwing you out there, sister. But I do thank God. I do. I do thank God for everything. Everything
Amen
that
everything.
That He does. There's not no little thing, and there's not a big thing. It's a thing to God. And I praise Him for that, and I do praise Him for His long suffering.
It's up to me which path I'm gonna take. I've only got one life to get it right. But even though I make mistakes, I'm perfect in His sight. When I deserve, that's when He loves me most. Each time I drifted far away, He's always led me home. And when I turn my back on Him, He's always held out hope. When I deserve the least, that's when He loves me the faith. I should have turned my head and looked away. I went stumbling down that road a time or two. But each time I came limping back, you let me lean on you. When I deserve the least, that's when He loves me most. Each time I drifted far away, He's always led me home. That's when He loves me most. And when I turn my back on Him, He's always held out hope. When I deserve the least, that's when He loves me most.
Green one? It's not on. Do it again. Do it again. Now? No. You want me to sit down? Okay.
It's not coming through the floor.
I don't hear it. About that. Got it on.
So, there we go. We can hear you.
So I guess I stay up. Can you hear me now? No, I lost it.
There we go. All right. Whew. All right. Devil playing with me. I got a song I'm going to do for you that I had somebody request this some weeks back. And I had to dig it out of the closet because I hadn't done this in a long time. So, hope you enjoy it, sister. So, she knows who it is. All right, but the name of the song is Why Me, Lord? We always ask ourselves, why me, Lord? Especially when something goes wrong, right? Why me, Lord? Why did you do that to me? But we never say, Lord, why me? Why did you bless me like you did? So, listen to the words in this. You ready?
think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus, I know.
Saying that the Lord is long-suffering with us. He is. I love Sister Brenda, and I wanted to say that through the Bible study, each and every one that we do, we call each other up. And I'm trying to get Alice into that now. I'll text her and say, what's your answers? And that way we can share with each other and just encourage each other as we're doing it along. But I love each and every one of these ladies, all the ladies in the church. I love you all. We'll try.
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught me.
Amen. I mean, he's thankful to the Lord. Amen. All of his goodness. Amen. Praise God. Would anyone like to stand and testify? We hadn't had a testimony meeting in a while. I just, you know, got something to say good about the Lord tonight. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Good to see Brother Thomas with us tonight. Amen. Our thoughts and prayers have been with him for the whole week. Amen. Anyone else want to testify before we get into the Word of the Lord tonight? Praise God. Amen. For those wonderful days, those good days. Sister G, I too have been very thankful today, just reminiscing, I guess, on the goodness of God's mercy, His grace, His longevity that He's allowed us to live on this earth, and all the many blessings that He's blessed us with. Sometimes I think we get a little bit of spiritual amnesia and we forget sometimes because of the situations that we go through, all the good days that we have and all the wonderful blessings that God gives us. I was reading this week in the book of Job, and we automatically connect that with pain and suffering and patience and all of the endurance and things that he went through. And you know, if we preach very little about the very end of Job, where he lived graciously and wonderfully for the last 140 years of his life, and God blessed him with everything that Satan had taken from him. But one thing that really stood out in my mind, and I'm not going there tonight in the message, but I just want to share that with you because that was kind of on my heart this week. But during Job's succession of bad news, you know, some of us, we get bad news and we can hardly get over it. Even before one quit speaking, somebody else came with another message of bad news, and all the things that you Bible readers know, that what happened to Job, how he lost everything and finally lost his children. A terrible windstorm came and killed them all where they were housed. And the Bible said that Job shaved his head and he rent his mantle, tore his clothes. I was reading up on that. Basically, that was a symbolic gesture of mourning. It would be basically like when we lose a loved one or something and we go into a state of mourning or the funeral, whatever those things are that are associated with that mourning. But one thing stood out with me. In his time of mourning, he found time to worship. through all of that, all that he had lost, he said he fell down after he shaved his head, after he ripped his mantle, he fell down and worshiped God, saying these words, "Naked I came, naked I'm going to leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord." If we can praise God during times of sadness and mourning and sorrow, how much more can we praise Him on good days, like Sister Jenny and I was talking about, the blessings that God has bestowed us with today. So in everything, the Bible says, give thanks unto the Lord. So why don't we just all give the Lord a hand clap of thanks for all that He has done. Amen. Praise God. All right. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to see His wonderful people here tonight. You gathered. If you have your Bibles with you, go with us to the book of Isaiah tonight. The prophet Isaiah. I love the word of the Lord from lid to lid, but there is something special in the reading of Isaiah. He was so in tune to God's word. He was a dynamic. He was actually known not as a prophet, but as the prophet. And we know there were many prophets during the time, but to be known as the prophet signifies how important his role was and how he was able to offer up his vessel and his heart and his entire life, amen, to the preaching of God's word. But in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, we want to focus on verses number 8 through 11. Again, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 11. When you get there, just say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right, reading from God's word. For all my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace and love. Thank you for those who've gathered here tonight, God, for the opportunity to come together tonight, Lord, and to worship and praise you. Thank you for your word tonight, God, and I pray, Lord, it would seek deep into our spirit. Pray, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay tonight, this vessel, God, to speak to us. Speak to us that you would have us to hear, that we might be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And Father, we're so thankful for all of your healings, your miracles, and your anointing. And we do remember those who are still sick and suffering. And Father, we pray that you would continue to bless them, heal them, and anoint their bodies. And Father, we pray for the lost and dying in this world today. Lord, send revival fire upon this land, God, that souls may be saved. Lord, that those may come to an old-fashioned altar of repentance. And Father, we'll be careful, giving you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the house tonight. Prophet Isaiah, a very unique character, an anointed man of God who devoted his life, as I said, to the preaching and the prophesying of God's word. The name Isaiah in the Hebrew actually means God is salvation. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a name like that to carry around? Isaiah was born in Jerusalem, so he was very familiar with the history of Jerusalem, very familiar with the Mosaic laws and all the things that the children of Israel had endured through many, many years. Bible history tells us he was born 700 years before Christ, yet he prophesied of the coming of the Messiah in great detail. In fact, if you Bible readers are familiar with the prophecy there, that Isaiah that we refer to so many times concerning the birth of the Messiah. And it starts off, this book is described as the vision of Isaiah, the vision of Isaiah. You know, most of the time when the word vision is used, it's sort of symbolic, or we have attributed it to something good, something great, something wonderful that God is going to do. And there are those wonderful visions. And the Bible says without a vision, the people perish. So we need to have a vision of good things. Amen. We need to look at situations in a positive attitude. Amen. That's what faith is. Believing, even though that we can't see the effects or we can't see the results of something good, we still believe it anyway. Amen. Enough to call it done in the name of Jesus, even when we don't see the effects of it. So it's described as the vision of Israel. And we know that the vision of Israel concerned the demise of Israel. It concerned the backsliding, the stiff-necked people that seemingly would not turn to God. And through the many preachings of the prophets and all that were there, finally, we also see in the book of Isaiah God's abundant pardon. Is anybody here in the house tonight thankful for God's abundant pardon, God's abundant forgiveness, His abundant grace, and His abundant mercy? I can stand here tonight, as Sister Brenda was testifying, I am very thankful for the Lord's long-suffering. I would like to stand and testify and say the first time I ever felt the Spirit of the Lord, the first time I ever felt the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, I immediately got up from my seat and ran down to an altar of repentance and received my salvation. I'd like to say that, but I can't say that because I didn't. And God was long-suffering for me. He gave me many, many opportunities, and I'm so thankful for that because God does not have to call us but once. Amen. But I am so thankful that He loved me enough to keep calling me, keep convicting my heart, finally drew me to an altar of repentance, and thank God for that. That was the greatest day of my life, is when Jesus Christ took up His abode in my life. So the book is described as the vision of Isaiah. It talks about the prophecies of Israel. And due to sin and disobedience, this was the condition that they were in now. But also, it is talking about God's abundant mercy, and that's where we get to tonight when Isaiah is talking about the power of God's Word. And if I had a thought tonight or a topic, that's what it would be tonight, the power of God's Word. I was thinking as I was preparing and reading how that we have access to certain things in this world that sometimes we don't take advantage of, even though we have that ability to do so. God's Word is one of those very potent and powerful things that a child of God has access to. And I, you know, not only the precious written Word of God, but His spoken Word and the ability that the Holy Ghost has, who dwells within us, to give us the Word of God. You know, the Word of God does not have to be updated. In fact, it really can't be updated. It certainly does not need to be taken away from. The Word of God is very powerful. One writer described it as a two-edged sword, sharp, able to cut asunder. And, you know, I've often called or talked about the Word of God as being like the scalpel in the hands of a skilled surgeon. Now, that's very different than being in my hands. The same tool, but in the hands of a skilled surgeon, it can cut away what is bad and make something good come out, where I would probably cut something to pieces. So the Word of God is quick and is powerful, and we refer to it here in the prophet Isaiah as the spoken Word of God, which gave power, amen, to those who were listening and those who were hearing, amen, and those who were obeying the voice of the prophet who was talking to them. First of all, we know that this is also about God's ability to forgive. Here He specifies the importance of God's Word. And if we don't get any further tonight, I want to really talk about the importance of God's Word, the importance of reading God's Word, the importance of studying God's Word, and the importance of applying God's Word to our life. The devil understands and knows and is under authority to God's Word. And we need to use that. We've got access to it. It's available. We have Bibles in our homes. We have Bibles here in the church. There's Bibles in the back, sometimes right along the side of the hymnal. And we have access to the power of God's Word. And we need to use that power, especially when Satan comes against us. And he does come against us in a number of different ways, through affliction, through sickness, through depression and all of these other things. But everything that we face, there is an antidote in God's Word. And God's Word is powerful, and we certainly need to use that Word. In fact, Jesus, when He was tempted in the wilderness, the three times, what He came against Satan was with the Word of God, the powerful written Word of God. So we need to understand. So here, He specifies and tells us, first of all, He says, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Now, it can be, but let me tell you who's going to have to do the changing. God's not going to change His Word. He's not going to change His thoughts. And isn't it wonderful when we get in one mind and one accord in the same thought process as the Spirit of God and has His spoken words, and God can pour out His blessing and His anointing and His healing power and His delivering power and His chain-breaking power, amen, when we get in one accord with God's Word and with God's will. But so many times, man or our word or our thoughts are not on the same level as God's thoughts. You know, we've often said we're contemplating the next move. God's on two or three games ahead of us. That's how greater God's word is than ours. That's how much loftier His word is than ours. And still, you can read the Bible from lid to lid. You can study, but still, you know, I can speak for myself. I'm always wanting and desiring to learn more of God's Word. And many times, after studying and after reading, going back through the anointing of the Holy Ghost, can find something in there that is exactly what I need for that hour. Can I get a witness? Amen. Can I get a testimony that God's Word has been exactly what you needed to hear at that exact time in your life when you tried everything else and everything else seemed to fail, but there was God's Word. And it was exactly what you needed to hear for that time. Amen. So we can't come up with anything in our own imagination, our own time, or our own thought waves that can come equal to God's thoughts. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And then the prophet says, not only is His thoughts higher than ours, His ways are higher than ours. You know, I'm like the Apostle Paul. I have not reached that point yet. I strive to reach that point. Amen. I want to be better tomorrow in the Lord's will than I was today. I understand and I know the frailties of the flesh. I understand and I know my own weaknesses. And I pray and I ask the Lord to help me through those weaknesses and help me to become more dependent on Him. But even in that, I know that my ways are never going to equal God's ways. That's the reason that I need the infilling of His Spirit. I mean, He's thankful for the promise, the comforter that He has filled us with to help us, to lead us, and to guide us. And that's what the promise was, that the Holy Ghost will lead you and will guide you. How many is able to be led by the Spirit of the Lord? So many times we say, no, 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 but thank God He catches us all sometimes by the spiritual nap of the neck and says, no, this is the way that I want you to go. So His thoughts are higher than ours, and certainly His ways are higher than ours. But that doesn't mean that we can't mimic and try to be like Him in all of our ways and all of our thoughts and all of our actions. And that's what we strive to be. That's what called being a Christian is, to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that's something that we constantly, or I have to constantly strive to do, because many, many times in my mind, you know, I'm already trying to think and work something else, and I happen to realize, wait a minute, God's thoughts are better, more accurate than mine. His ways are better. Let me just trust in Him. Amen. To believe that God is able to take care of our needs. His ways are higher and His thoughts are higher. And then He uses this analogy. He says, as the rain, God's words water the earth and it produces growth. How many knows that we're still growing in God? We're still growing in the knowledge and the wisdom of God. And as long as we will let Him lead us and guide us. And so many times we have to understand, and I'll get to that in just a minute. When God's Word goes forth, we don't need to try to change it. And we don't need to try to convince Him to let His thoughts be our thoughts, or let our thoughts or his thoughts come down to our thoughts, or his ways come down to our thoughts or our ways, because they're higher. Sometimes they're hard to understand. Amen. Have you ever been there? Have you ever said, God, I don't understand? There's things we're not going to understand. The Bible says we see through a glass darkly, meaning there's things we're never going to understand this side of heaven. Amen? But that doesn't mean that we can't trust in God. And we don't have to know why He tells us something. We just know when He tells us something, to be obedient unto it and to be submissive unto it. You know, my mother used to have a saying, if I ever questioned why, her, because I said so. End of the subject. End of the matter. No, you know, no more conversation because I said it. I was supposed to accept her word as law. And then if that didn't work, son, as long as you live under my roof. Amen. But us Christians, even mature Christians, are often guilty of saying, Lord, I can't do that. Why are you asking me to do that? Why do you tell me that? Why don't you do this way? And the prophet said, well, wait a minute. His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Sometimes we don't understand. We can't see because we can only see what's directly in front of us. But God sees the future, and He holds the future in His hands. Not only does He hold the future, He holds you and me in His hands. And He's going to take care of us. He's going to make a way for us. He's already promised us that. We don't always understand how He's working. We just need to understand and know that He is working. Amen? And being able to call it done, even before we see the effects of it. So as the rain, God's words, waters the earth, and it produces growth. If we will listen intently to God's word, certainly through the reading of the scriptures, studying the scriptures, but how many knows that God still speaks to our hearts? He still speaks sometimes in the midnight hour. He uses different vehicles. He uses different methods of speaking to us. Have you ever been spoken to the Lord in a song that's being sung? It sounds like God is just singing just to you. He's using a singer. He's using a musician or something to do that. But the words are seemingly exactly what you needed to hear at that particular time. Thank God that He loves us enough to speak to us. Amen. Through a song, through a poem, through a church marquee, many, many ways and many, many vehicles that the Lord uses to speak to us. And sometimes, you know, we don't listen. We need to listen intently to what God's saying. We're expecting the strong wind in God's voice, or the earth-shattering quaking of God's voice, or the thunder and lightning. But it may be, as He spoke to the prophet, in a still, small voice. Just as maybe a little slight poll tonight, have you ever had God to reveal something to you that was so simple you went, oh, wow. Am I the only one? Have you ever, you know, you think, man, you done spent hours over it. You done been trying to work it out. You've been trying to do this. You've asked, you know, advice from other people. You prayed. You sought God. And, you know, you're expecting some great big thing, almost like in neon lights to flash across the heavens, or a big rainbow like we saw tonight to let you know that God's promise is still real. But sometimes God just chooses to speak in a still small voice. And all of a sudden, it's imparted into our heart and into our spirit. And we get that situation like, oh, Lord, wow, now I see. Now I can hear your word. Thank God that He is patient enough to keep speaking to us until we understand, until we obey. So that produces growth. Amen. When we listen to God's word, when we study God's word, when we pray, when we come together, when we sing songs of praise and worship. Please understand, the songs of praise and worship are not to entertain folks. It's to entertain the Spirit of the Lord. And if you get in one mind and one accord, whoever's singing and whatever song can be anointed, and it will produce growth into our spirit and into our life with the Lord. So as the rain comes down and it begins to grow and produce fruit, a spiritual fruit, amen, which the Bible tells us that we are to be supposed to be producing fruit in our life. It will accomplish. Well, first of all, His word goes forth and will not return void. How many have ever heard that scripture, read that scripture before? It's very intriguing to me, that particular part. I've used it in a number of sermons. I've referred to it probably all of my life as a minister, that God's word goes forth and it will not return void. Sometimes we think void. You know, when I think of void, I'm thinking about a check that I've messed up and I put void across it because it's no longer any good. But really, when you look into this, the Hebrew definition, basically, it actually means it will accomplish, it will fulfill, and it will prosper that which He desires. When His word goes forth, it won't return void. Sometimes we think about that, and we use that in the analogy of as the minister preaches and God's anointed word, and it goes out to the congregation, and it's going to accomplish that. Not that the minister wants to accomplish, but it's going to accomplish that that God wants to accomplish if the word is anointed. But it's not. We don't always get the word through the preacher. Amen? We can get the word from God Himself. Go to the source. Amen? Do you know that we have that accessibility? That's something I don't think that we praise God enough for, is the ability to go straight to the top, to go straight to the Lord Himself. Amen. We don't have a petition anymore. We don't have a veil. We don't have to have a priest to go in on our behalf. Do you understand and know that in the midnight hour, we have the right, not only the right, but we are encouraged to have the accessibility to go straight to God about anything that's worrying us, anything that's bothering us, whether it be sickness, affliction, anxiety, depression, whatever it is, we have that ability. And thank God He's never too busy to listen. Oh, would you put your hands together? But thank God that we have that ability. Never puts you on hold. Never asks you to push a certain number to reach Him. He's always there. So His word is very, very important. But it's also very powerful. And I think we as Christians, born-again Christians, need to use His word more and more and more. Words straight from the Bible in situations that we're going through. If we're burdened down, if we've had a situation that we can't seem to get victory over, and we've tried and we've done this and we try to hold our head up high and go forward and say everything's all right and by faith I'm believing it's going to happen. But you know, we have authority, power through the written and spoken word of God. Let me tell you how powerful the word of God is. He said, "Let there be light." And immediately there was light. He spoke this world into existence. I'm a firm believer in God's creative ability. You know, people say, how can that be? If you make that statement, you have not understood the power of God's word. Amen? When you understand and finally be able to take hold of what the word means, the powerful word of God, you'll understand that anything is possible with God. So many times we judge God by the possibility of man. No, you can't do that, because the Bible says the things that are impossible with man are made possible by God. His spoken word can change a life. His spoken word can heal your body. His spoken word, amen, can turn a bad situation into a wonderful situation. Amen. And it produces growth just like when the rain comes down. It will accomplish. It will fulfill. And it will prosper. Listen to this. That which He desires. So we have to be in the same frame of mind with God. We have to be like Jesus was and say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I've had to change my prayer a number of times because I was praying direction to God. And maybe none of you have ever been guilty of doing that, praying exactly what I needed God to do, exactly when I needed Him to do it. And in case you're listening, God, here's how I want you to do it. And I say that because sometimes you get in a feeling of anxiousness, and you feel like, man, it's got to be done now. It's got, you know, there's a deadline going. You know, Lord, you just got to do it now. No, He doesn't. And that's hard for us as human beings to understand. Lord, you don't understand. I'm facing this. It's got to be done. It's got to be done by tomorrow. But then when we realize that His ways are higher, His thoughts are higher, and then all of a sudden we just say, well, Lord, here, I'm just going to turn it over to you. And you know what? The deadline really wasn't tomorrow. God already was working on something that we had no idea that He was working something out. And guess what? He worked it out better than what we thought it would be. Because His ways are higher, and His thoughts are higher. And when we learn to be submissive and obedient to God's will, we can just pray, Lord, your will be done. Here's the situation. Here's what I'm facing. Here's the problem. Lord, here's my burden. Whatever the problem. You know, and so many times I think we think God is not concerned over the little things that we face. Oh, yes, He is. He's very concerned about whatever we face. Because let me tell you about little things. Little things can become big things. We may try to handle little things. Oh, I got this. But we really hadn't got it. Because we haven't got victory over it yet. And all of a sudden, that little thing becomes a bigger thing. And then it begins to be a burden. Then it begins to be something that will hamper our spirit when we're trying to worship and praise the Lord, because we're still trying to fix this thing. And, you know, the little snowball effect that gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally, when it just gets so big that it just is absolutely, taking up our whole life and our whole thought process, then we finally bring it to the Lord. When we should have brought it to Him to start with, said, Lord, here it is. You understand the situation. Lord, I'm giving it to you right now, and I'm claiming victory in the name of the Lord. I give it to you, and I'm believing, God, that you're going to work it out, not as I see it, but as you. And these are very, very important words. In verse 11, I want to read it again. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Let me tell you something. I just want to throw this in too. Everybody that speaks what the Lord has said is not always the voice that God is using. There are false prophets. There are people that will tell you God said this and God said that. Listen, if it ever conflicts His word here, then you take the written word of God. Amen. The devil even tries to mimic God. But God's word, and it says, and it goes forth out of my mouth. You know, I like to hear the person say it originally. Well, who said? Well, she said he told her, and that they said. I like to go to the source. And the source is God's word. And His word that goeth out of my mouth. And listen to what it says. It shall not return unto me void. In other words, listen to it. It shall not return to me unaccomplished, unfulfilled. And it will not return to me that it has not been prosperous. Man, that's basically what it said when it says it will not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish what? That I please. That's very important, church. It's very important that we understand and realize it is better to please God than even try to please ourselves. And we need to incorporate that into our prayers. God, if this is where you want me to be, if this is what you want me to have, Lord, if this is the direction that you want me to go, then sanction it and bless it. But most of all, Lord, if it's not pleasing unto you, then I don't want to go there. Or I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a part of that. Because I want to give honor and praise unto you. And I want you first and foremost in my life. So when God speaks, He speaks the word that will please Him. Then He says, and it shall prosper. It shall prosper. In the thing whereto I sent it. It's very important that the word that we hear, that the word that we place the confidence and faith in, is the word of God, the word sent from Him. Not only is it a powerful word, and thank God that it is a powerful word. And again, I mentioned this earlier, and I want to reiterate this. We need to give access to this word. We need to use it. We've got it. We have that promise. We have the word with us. And again, when Satan, he does, he comes against us. He tries to sow doubt, tries to sow fear, tries to sow dissension and separation in situations and all. But when you speak the word of God, when you speak the power of the Word of God. Satan cannot stand it. He cannot. He has to bow to the authority of the Word of God. And we have that ability to use the Word of God. Apply it to your lives on a daily basis. You know, Scripture is so wonderful. Scripture that you can use if you don't want a total Bible around with you. Many times I've written it on a postcard or a little, a sticky note or something. And I've had it in my car, had it on the dash before. You know, because so many times when you need to get access to that Word, and you know, you can look and recite that power, that Scripture, and all of a sudden you feel the power that God is already taking control of the situation that you were facing. So not only is it a powerful word, and thank God that it is a powerful word, but in Psalms 119 and 105, David, or the writer of that particular psalm in this area, says, "It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Who knows the world is a dark, dark place, getting darker. Every single day it's getting darker. When I'm talking about darker, I'm talking about evil and more perverse in the situations that are going on in the world today. And you know what happens when it gets real, real dark? Sometimes you lose your way, even in a familiar place. But if you've got a lamp and if you've got a light under your feet, then it doesn't matter how dark it gets out there, you're going to have direction and you're going to have the Word of God, which is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So not only is it powerful, amen, but it shows us the way as well. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? Let's take more advantage of the Word of God in every day. Every day. Not just be familiar with it in church service, but apply it to our life daily. You know, one good thing, you know, there's a little box I have at the home, at house. It looks like a Band-Aid box. And you open it up and it's got these little cards, and every one of them is a different scripture. And you just take one of those things out and use that scripture that day. Just, you know, and you know what? So many times, and I don't think it's coincidence, so many times it's just the scripture that I needed for that day. And here's about the Word of God. You know, we don't know what we're going to be facing that day, but God does. So sometimes that little scripture, man, I really needed that. That's what I needed to hear. And if you don't want to do that, just pick a word, pick a scripture, and on a daily basis. You know, what was the old one-a-days? One a days. Get your scripture one a day and refer to it. You'll be surprised and you'll be amazed how much it will affect your life just during that day. And you know what? Yeah, all of them's good. All the Word of God is good for reproof, edification, exhortation unto our life. So may God bless you. We love you. Stay in the Word of God. Use the Word of God. Would you stand tonight? Amen. Yes, ma'am. Well, come up here. They're not going to hear you on the live stream. For those of you that may be listening, Brother Terry had an appointment today with a prosthetic, so Sister Penny has some news about that.
She says Terry's prosthetic fitting went good today. He was able to take some steps using the bars. His muscle strength is still pretty good. He is having to learn how to stand to balance himself. Still a ways to go, but God is good.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, Brother Terry still maintains that he's going to walk down the aisle, and I believe that. I believe that. Amen. In God's time, I believe he's going to be able to see that dream fulfilled when he walks down. You know what? I don't know if the church will be able to stand it. No, that would be all right, won't it? We'll just have a wonderful time glorifying and praising the Lord. Brother Terry has been through a very, very long, trying ordeal. But he has remained faithful. Thank God for that. Brother Jim, come dismiss us with a word of prayer. If you have need of prayer, I don't want to close the service without giving you an opportunity. But if you need prayer tonight, certainly we will pray with you.
Amen. God bless you. We love you so much.
Amen.
Leave Brother Thomas.
All right. Come on up, Brother Thomas.
We're going to believe for healing for brother. Amen. And we know he's working even right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we anoint this person. God, we know, Lord, that you're going to touch him. God, we know that you're going to heal him. Father, I pray, God, that you would just speak that word right now, God, that he might be made whole. God, whatever he's facing, God, whatever the pain, we know that your word is greater, more powerful than what we face. In the name of Jesus, we call Amen. Looking for healing. Glory to God.
Dear Heavenly Lord, as we come together, Lord, on behalf of Sister Ellen, Father, we pray for an anointing, a healing of her body. Touch her right now, God. Lord, we know that you're able, God. We know that you speak the word and it shall be done. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray right now. Touch her, Holy Lord. Heal her, God. Bless her and order right now in your precious holy name. God, that she might be made whole this very hour. God, we'll lift you up, giving you all the praise. Glory to God. Let it be done. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your sweet name, Lord. Praise your name.
Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. We travel. All right. You need prayer cloth or just need prayer? For God's protection. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we anoint Sister Lord, God, I pray that you would protect her, that you would be with him as we travel, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would let guardian angels encamp round about. God, we anoint her right now, God, for safekeeping. In Jesus' name, we call it done. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Lord, be with her in Jesus' name. Praise God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We're glory. Give the Lord praise. Amen. He's worthy. He is worthy.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, sweet Jesus.
The powerful word of God, his message tonight. We just want to thank the Lord for allowing us all to gather together in one mind and one accord to hear his word. And we thank him for these prayers that we know God's touching and healing right now. Be with each and every one of you. For those of you watching online, if you have a prayer request, I know you hopefully you already have, put it in the comments section. We'll definitely be praying for you. Praise reports too. Just go ahead and just let the Lord know. Just give him all the glory. Well, all hearts and minds clear. Praise God. Let's be in much prayer as we prepare, as they prepare those with Vacation Bible School, the latter part of this week into this weekend, and get ready for all that's going on. And you know, God already knows who's coming. He knows the situation. But we'll pray for a mighty move of God with these young people and all those involved. We just thank the Lord for his blessings. All righty. Don't forget Sunday school Sunday morning. We'd love to invite each and every one of you. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, again, we just praise your name. Lord, thank you for your word, dear Lord. Thank you for your spirit, for the comfort that you've given each and every one of us, dear Lord, as we've accepted you into our lives. Lord, as we come forth now, we prepare to depart. Lord, we ask that you'll bless each and every one represented, whether it be here in this sanctuary with the young people or with the little ones that are down in their Bible study. And, dear Lord, we ask you now just to protect us and guide us. Lord, bring us back at a point of time. Dear Lord, may we be the vessels that you can use, dear Lord. And we thank you for your many blessings. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Have a wonderful rest of the week.